Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you guys for joining us here at Harvest Light Church and Harvest Light Studios here in the city of Dallas. We're about ready to get started here in just a few minutes. Had some kind of music going here for a while. We got a few more guests that's supposed to be coming into the studio, but you know, I kind of really like waiting because I think they know the schedule and time they should probably be in here, but we got to go ahead and get moving. We welcome you guys to coming and being with us on our actually Tuesday night testimony. Really, when we actually have this Tuesday night testimony, something designed through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't get a chance to testify to the things in our life in terms of what we're doing actually in our churches. You know, my question was, why did they ever take the actual testimony out of the church? So we wanted to bring that back to those who have a chance to really talk about some of the supernatural things that have happened in their life during the course of the time. There's some events taking place. You know, all of us have had events to take place in our life that we really need to share some of those things with people. And let them know that if God done it for me, he's no respect for God. What he do for you, he'll do for me also. So we saw the Tuesday night testimony, and here we are, probably might be 4 or 5 years later. We're probably over 300 callers a night across the United States and all abroad. And those who come into the studio, more than 100 calls that come in, and we get a chance to interview and talk with people. I don't get a chance to get everybody on the line because, you know, here at Harvest Light Church and Harvest Light Studios, we want to keep things very discreet and how we actually balance ourselves in doing the show here at Harvest Light Church. So I want to thank you guys for joining us in the night. For all those who are actually called into the studio, you want to, it's actually a number you can call into, or you can just kind of go into your archives, or you can go to what you call blogtalkradio.com. You want to put in Harvest New Life Church, and that actually get into the studio. If you want to actually click the number and get in, you can do that also. But the call-in number is going to be 516-387-1220. We're going to be dealing with a topic on tonight, dealing with the process of how the Word of God, and he says that though I speak with the tongue of an angel, you know, I have not profited anything. We talk about how charity is one of the greatest things in the kingdom of God and how we need to come aside and realize that he's got a plan that really supersedes beyond more than we can imagine or think of. Once again, when you guys are calling to the studio, it's going to be a part of the show tonight. It's been advertised. We probably got ourselves out there on probably maybe 20 to 30 different networks. Get an opportunity to get in and be with us. It's always a pleasure for you guys to join us here on the studio. Those who are out in a foreign country, welcome you to come in. Got some good friends, Pastor Albright. Want to give allegiance out, just shout out to my good friend, Apostle Treadwell, down in Chicago, Illinois, and some of the other men of God who's actually in mentorship in my life. He's just one, if I get his name and everybody, we'll probably take the whole show. But as I said once before, for those who want to come into the show, you want to go to your actually Blog Talk Internet Radio, or just go to Blog Talk Radio, and there's going to be a search bar, and you just type in Harvest New Life Church, and it'll show you all the episodes and all the things that's going on live. And this is actually Tuesday night service here at Harvest New Life Church Studios, along with the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams. We've got a few more other men of God's got some guest appearances on the line. We got the man of God, Alan Carter, who's a longtime friend of mine, been doing some great work in the evangelism field. And sometimes we have many more that come into the show. We welcome them to come in and be a part of what the Word of God is doing here at Harvest Night Church. There's no kind of burden, no kind of, we don't hold anybody back, but we do want you to come in and present yourself faithfully in terms of what we're doing here in the studio. I want to let you know we're going to actually consecrate ourselves. It's been a narrator of the show tonight. We want to consecrate on this thing that's over in the book of Corinthians, chapter 13. We don't want to venture off too much when we're doing our teaching. I think it's something we really focused on for some of the young ministers out there. We don't want to drift off course. And we're going to be over in the book of 1 Corinthians over there in the actual 13th chapter, And we're going to be very individual in scriptures and hearing what the word of God has to say that's coming from the kingdom of God. You're going to be lighting the man of God up. I said he just came into the studio, Elder Kerry Williams, and some of the other guys. I'm going to light them up and let them come in. But since this show is dedicated on him tonight, and we want to make sure that we stay focused on our agenda tonight. And I'm kind of sharp at doing things here at Harvest Watch. I've been a little lenient lately, but I got to make sure I stay in structure because my apostle kind of came at me and said, you know, don't veer too far off course in your shows because it pulls a lot of the media away. We want to make sure you guys are going to actually hear what we're actually speaking tonight. We want to stay focused on that. We want to speak about some very important things concerning this 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians and kind of what it deals with us on today. So we're going to let the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, he popped into the studio. All the guests is on the line. We appreciate you coming in with us and being a part of our show tonight. But we're going to open up with prayer. We're going to go ahead and launch this very word tonight, and we're going to hear what the word of God has to say. Elder Kerry?
God bless you, sir. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Let's have a word of prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these hearts, these minds, these souls that are gathered tonight, Lord, to receive what thus you have to say to your people. We ask, oh God, as we go forward, Lord, that you bless us continuously with your presence, oh God, and that all flesh would be based, Lord, and that you would be exalted, that your word and your spirit reign supreme. These are all different things for your son in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you again, Pastor Charles, tonight. Right now, I'm in my car. I'm on the road. I just left and attended some emergency business at the church. Very important stuff. But getting back to your theme tonight, that the chapter of 1 Corinthians was known as the love chapter. You know, we understand that the central theme of the word is love. The Bible says that God is love and that we are children of the love. And so what Paul's talking about there in 1 Corinthians, he's talking about qualities and attributes and fruit that we bear. You know, it's a result of walking in God's love. You know, like I love the fact that Scripture says that love is basically love is selfless. You know, God demonstrated total selfless love for us when he gave us Christ to die on the cross for us. And we've got to understand love is a word that has been, it's pretty much the most abused word in the English language. And a lot of times we do a lot of things in quoting the name of love. And at the end of the day, it's not necessarily that we have a full understanding of love, but we're operating a lot out of our feelings and out of our flesh. And so this is what Paul was trying to do, was clear that up. He was addressing the church of Corinth. And they had so much literally going on in that particular church. There were a lot of gifted and charismatic people there, but they weren't operating in love. They weren't operating according to the spirit of love. Everybody was kind of doing their own thing. And if you sit back and you look today, you see a lot of the same principles at work in many of the local church bodies and in society in general. Pastor Ellis, would you do me a favor? Would you read those first 5 or 6 verses for me?
Yeah, let's get into this. Like I said, we want to, you know, as he's speaking about the process of love, let's, for those who have the scriptures with them, just turn your Bibles over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, and we want to get you guys lined up. And the word of God declares and decrees, we get there in a few moments, we get there in the scripture. Those who are ready, I'm quite sure you're there. Let's look at it. It says, though I speak with the tongue of a man and of an angel, but I have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. He said, I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery, and I have all knowledge, though I have all faith, that I can move mountains, and I have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow my good and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I have not charity. It profits me nothing. Charity suffers long, but is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunteth not. And not puffed up. Though we have, but when the fifth verse it says, does not behave itself unseemingly, It seeketh not its own. It is not easy provoked. Thinketh not evil. 1-5. We enter the scripture. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. There are several qualities. That whole passage of scripture right there is actually a love meter for us to follow. If you really endeavor to walk in the Spirit of God, as I know we do, in the spirit of love, then all we have to do is take those scriptures right there and go down the line and check your love against what's demonstrated there. For instance, first thing he says is, though I have the gift of angels, tongue of angels, and speaking all these tongues and different things like that, though I have not love. You know, and we got to understand that love is to be demonstrated. There's an old song, the same in church, says, love isn't love until you give it away. Love is not selfish, rather it's selfless. So love does not boast. Love is not puffed up, not prideful. A lot of times we have to take a look at ourselves, and I'm a firm believer, before I'm trying to do anything for anybody else in particular, open my mouth to tell somebody something, I've got to check myself first. The Bible says, so let a man examine himself. And a lot of times we want to put that the other way around, and we want to do things, and we can deceive ourselves into thinking we're all in that love. Love does not tear another one down. I don't care how well-meaning you are. When you come to something, the Bible tells us to go to our brother and our sister in love whenever we see a fault in anything. But, saints, you know, we got to get out of the practice of trying to shame people and beat people down into being saved and this, that, and the other, because that's not coming from a place of love. Anytime you preface trying to win somebody by insulting them or putting them down or speaking harshly to them, it's not coming from love. That's coming from flesh. And we've got to understand that that's why Paul put these scriptures in place for us, you know, because, again, if we're going to win souls, and that is our ultimate goal, is to win souls, because we're trying to do a work. We're trying to build the kingdom of God. It's easy to tear down, and it's tough to build. And this is why we have to actively activate and practice love. It goes hand in hand with your faith. You know,
amen.
The Bible says in Hebrews that he that comes to God must first believe that he is. And, you know, and that he's a reward of them that diligently seek him. But if you don't have the faith to believe that God will reward you, you can't have the faith to actually love someone, because there's no middle ground, first of all. We can't change, we can't add to or take away from the word. We've got to understand that God's formula, God's standard is set in stone. And it's our responsibility to come up to God's standard. God's not going to lower it and come down to our level. But rather, we have to move. We have to do everything we can to go up and live according to his schedule.
Man,
so when it comes to – go ahead, Pastor.
Let's get – for those who are not familiar, he's speaking something very seriously here. But we talk about the speaking of language. Let's get some basis here. Let's understand what Apostle Paul was speaking here. It was a vision in the Corinthian church, a vision now. And we got to really understand and look at that. The ability to speak a strange tongue, another gift from education. This is what the Corinthians thought that would profit and benefit the kingdom. They thought the gift of language and oratorical performance would be the thing that will oppress, not would oppress, but bring God into where they feel that that's where they're going to gain access with him or gain favor with him. The Corinthians' ability of speaking this type of language from a human standpoint of view, they considered their gift from an educational point of view. But human language, to speak of all talk or performance, does not gather God. It doesn't amuse God. It doesn't make him feel any more. If it's not the spirit, of the Lord. When we look over in the book of, I think if I'm mistaken, 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about all the different gifts of the Spirit, but the same Spirit. But in this area, the Corinthians spoke
as in all and through all
of knowledge and understanding, tongues of great. They had, it's kind of like now the performance of a person who can speak. They can almost surprise you if they're talking like an angel. And the first thing, if you're not really understanding what the power of the Spirit, you say, "Wow, that got to be from God." Well, how did you know? The Word of God says, "Try the Spirit by the Spirit." And when you can't try the Spirit by the Spirit, you don't understand what you are listening to. You really become more like just a person who's sounding off and making noise and ain't really saying nothing. You're just tingling. But he speaks in the Corinthians, and as Elder Carey was saying, he spoke to the Corinthians, and he said such a powerful word for them over in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 14 and 23. He said, "Therefore the whole church assembled together and all spoke in tongues. And ungifted men or unbelievers ended in when they were and will not say that, you know, they, you know, no, if I come in and see all of us in the rolling in the Holy Ghost, I say, man, them cats are mad, man. They got some witchcraft going up in there because they don't understand. And it's the same way in the Spirit. God looks at oratorical performance versus his word in the same manner. Because if it's not profiting the kingdom of God, then it's really just, it's just language. It's just you speak real elegantly. Like Paul spoke to them over in Corinthians, I think 1 Corinthians 3. Apollos, very good speaker, governor. But he didn't have the power of the Spirit moving behind him. You know, so when we look at what he's actually saying, the tearing down of words and language, a lingo, if it's not strand with the love of God, it can profit really nothing. It sounds good. And that's all it's going to do is sound good, but it really leads and goes nowhere. It really does nothing. It really never profits us anywhere because the Word of God performs. He talks in the book of, I think it was, is it 46? He talks about he's a refuge, and he's a very, I think it's Psalms 46. He's a refuge, and he's a very present help in a very present time of need. Well, in verse 2, he talks about the inspiring preaching of prophecy. He notes a very strong word in the book of Corinthians. And he said other deficiencies of affected of miracles and others, the prophecy and others, the distinguishing of the spirits and other various kinds of tongues and others interpretation of tongues. Even though you can speak with a prophetic word, but if it shows no power and demonstration, then it's really just, it don't show no love in terms of what it's going to do. You got to be able to speak a word in such a way that it's going to perform to do just what you're saying. And what we have today, we got a lot of language, but there's no action behind it. James speaks about that. Show me a man that says he has faith with no works, and I'll show you the works of dead. Now, that was something that him and Martin Luther got into the argument about, but it's pretty much really the same thing now, that we're just speaking loud, and we ain't saying nothing. Though we have the gift of prophecy, we ain't saying nothing. It's performing. It does nothing. How is it prophecy if it has no bearing of witness behind it? The Bible says signs, wonders, and miracles follow them that believe. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries, it says, and all the knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could move mountains. I'm talking about just your faith. Oh, I believe. But in the process of you believing, ain't nothing taking place. You can prophesy to a person's life all you want. But when it can't move or demonstrate or do anything, that's not of God, because the Bible says signs, wonders, and miracles will follow those that believe. And what we have today is just a lot of words. It's a lot of, we call it now, they say it's a nice message. Oh, that was a nice sermon. Well, sermons are designed to perform to the believer. And out of the performance of the believer, they're designed to get a demonstration. All of these things you see with the power of God moving in the book of Luke chapter 9. Called the disciples together, gave them authority, gave them power over all demonic forces and all evil things, that they went out and they did the work of the kingdom of God, and they came back with words of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Now I have another man of God online for a minute here, Elder Carey. I want to bring him in, Evangelist Carter, such a longtime friend of mine. I know he's listening.
Amen.
I know you're in there. We wanted you to go ahead and be a part of this conversation on the night. It's been a while since I've seen you. And that's at 678, and he's going to be just kind of elaborating on some of the things he have dealt with in the performing of the word. I have a lot of miracles that he has seen, that he has actually told me to happen to people. People had cancer, the word came back to him.
Uh-huh.
And what was there? Yeah, he's had a lot of powerful words. He's been telling me. Go ahead, Evangelist.
God bless you all. Elder Carey and Pastor Ellis,
God bless you.
That I'm you all, you know, let me come and share y'all show with you all. I just thank God, you know, for everything I heard, and, you know, and to know that you know, that you know about love. You know, love is, wow, it's deep. But, you know, some people take it out of context.
Yep.
But, you know, love is charity. Love is the supersede of all gifts.
Amen.
And, I don't, you know, I thank God for that because, you know, the thing of it is, when you see people, you know, who take fair advantage of a person, that, you know, a man or woman, a woman, a man, boy, girl, whoever, you know, about love. Excuse me. Well, first of all, love starts in the home. Because, you know, you learn as a person, you know, with love. If a parent loves their child, tell their child they love them. But then a child, you know, when they grow up, if he, you know, when he get married or fall into in love with a young lady fall in love with a man, a young man, she know how to, you know, present herself a love because she was taught at home. You see, because what they say, charity is beginning at home, but it spreads abroad. Okay? So now, here it is, how can you tell a person that you love them when you really don't show, you haven't been shown love?
Yeah.
You see, I got a saying saying, we can make our mouth say anything, but what do we believe in our heart?
That's right.
You see, because I can say I love y'all and God all day, but then in my heart I don't.
Hmm.
You see, because, like I say, the things that we know, you can use it if you know how to use it or do you abuse it.
Amen.
You know, my thing is, you live, you learn, you learn, you live. How, like I say, you know, my mother, I share, and I go back to when I was a kid. I think I shared this with Pastor Ellis. When I was a kid, And I expressed this to my wife. I never heard no one in our home, my mother, father, nobody talking about the Lord. And I never forget, I had, they put me back in the first grade until my mother said I had an attitude problem. Well, that next year come around, I started praying. Didn't know God. Didn't know. I just said, Lord. Didn't even know God existed. And I prayed to the Lord, Lord, don't let me fail this grade. Okay. And the Lord heard my prayers. Had to be about 5 or 6. Didn't even know to pray. Just said, Lord, did like I said again. I don't like to be redundant, but I say again, I didn't know God had existed, so I started praying. And when I explained that, to my wife, she said, huh? She said, baby, you never heard? I said, I never heard nobody, my mother, father, my aunties, nobody talking about the Lord. She said, wow. I said, yes. But to God be the glory now. I know about it.
Amen. Amen.
And I can talk
Amen.
About it.
Amen.
I can tell people about it.
Amen.
You see,
Amen.
And that's why I thank God for Pastor Ellis, because true man of God, true man of God. I'm not trying to give no accolades or nothing like this, but the thing of you listening to this conversation, and you can tell he's about God's business.
Amen.
And I listen to how he talked to his little daughter. Love his daughter. See, love's at home. It starts at home. See, when she get up to the age, now don't put me in the headlock, pastels, when I say this, but if she'll decide to get married or whatever, because she know I love her name because her father and her mother shows her love.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? Now, pastels, am I somewhere? Which, you know, what I'm saying is love begins at home.
Amen. You said, I want to give this back over to our show host hand, which is Elder Carey. But Elder Carey, I want to move over to that fourth verse, which I know you were going to hit. Evangelist said something. He said, charity and love supersedes all gifts. If you can ever get that revelation.
That's right. As a matter of fact, go ahead.
Sorry. No, Elder, that was just it. I just want to get into this.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. I get excited sometimes, so excuse me for that. But I was just thinking, when as both of you were talking, you know, if we remember, there was a Pharisee asked Jesus, what was the most important scripture? What was the most important of the law and the scripture? And what did Jesus tell him? Jesus said first that... the greatest commandment was the Lord thy God, all the heart, mind, body, and soul. Then he said the second was like unto it concerning your brother. See, love is the active force for all of us. And, you know, we got to understand when it goes back to those gifts and everything, what you were talking about coming out of it, you know, Paul put it like this. When Paul went and addressed those same Corinthians and elsewhere in the Bible, when every time he had to establish his authority as an apostle, the first thing he did was he told Corinthians, he said, when I came to you preaching, I didn't come to you preaching you with the eloquent words or glorified speech or anything like that. He said, but I came and I spoke in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. See, love represents the Spirit of God, so you can't love without it. And he also put it like this, he summed it up elsewhere, when he said that, he said the gift of God is without repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to piggyback on what Evander was just saying, that love has to be in the heart. It has to be directly in your spirit. It has nothing to do with feelings or emotions or even words. Love, again, is action, but it has to come from a pure, spiritually regenerated heart. Gifts come, the Bible says that God gives gifts unto all men.
Amen.
He gives gifts unto all men liberally as he wills.
Amen.
But the difference is love is the only gift. Love is the only gift that God inhabits himself, that he commands you to give everybody else.
Amen.
Now, he has spiritual gifts for the body.
Amen.
That's ordained. You can walk. Paul said that, you know, Paul said, there's a reason Paul said I have to die daily and kill my flesh daily. He said, because I can get up and preach 5,000 people happy and still myself be a castaway.
Amen.
Why? If I don't have love in my heart.
Amen. And let's give some more meat.
Yeah.
Let me read for you some more, Elder, because I know you're driving if you hadn't made it back home yet. Let's give them some more meat so you can go ahead and cut some more potatoes up over this. Let's get into this. Let's get some more meat here. It says in the 4th of chapter 13, and I know I want you to go ahead and stay with it. It said, I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version, because I believe the Amplified Version gives you a little bit more precision and understanding in what we're talking about. It said, love is long, is patient, and kind. Love never envies, nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful. It is not vulgar. Does not display itself haughty. It says in the 5th verse, it is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude, is not unmeaningly, and does not act unbecomingly. Wow. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own, for that stagger there. God's love does not, listen how he said, it does not insist. God's love does not insist on its own right or its
Amen.
Own. But it is not self-seeking. It is not
That's right.
Or fretful or resentful. It is not a it not resentful. It takes no account of the evil doing or the evil done to it. Am I somewhere? It pays no attention to the scoffing or the scoffer of wrong. That's so strong up there.
There's so much there. Amen. There's so much there. The definition of that very verse was put to me some years back. And love, and we're talking about God's agape, unconditional love, seeks the greater good of everyone else. And that's the way, we've got to look at it. See, God is a God of intercession. You remember Jesus, when Jesus prayed the prayer of intercession, Jesus didn't pray for himself. He prayed for everybody else. And love works the exact same way. When you're truly loving from your heart, that scripture says that love is not puffed up. It's not proud. It's not selfish. Love is patient. King James Version said, love, charity is patient. Charity is kind. It's not puffed up. In other words, think about it like this. If the love of God wasn't patient, do any of you honestly believe many of us would still be here?
Suffers long.
Suffers long, that's right.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we say we love. One thing I'm very passionate about is I look at the institution, all the institution of marriage. Marriage, many people jump into something without actually studying it and taking the time to understand that the institution of marriage, the Bible says that marriage is holy, being undefiled. That is a gift that was created from God to man and woman for the physical reality of love.
Amen.
But look at the gifts that come out of that. But so many times we take it, and we actually look at it as something that everyone else is just doing. And those vows, the vows, the traditional wedding vows were meant to last for a lifetime. When you truly love someone and you commit to another person, that means you're committing all the love of God that's in you toward that person. And just like God will never walk away from us, that means you're committed to another person for life. It's not love. Love suffers long, endures long. And the suffering kind of means the first time something comes about, you're not so mad, you're just going to walk away.
Amen.
Or when your spouse is at the lowest point in their life, they're on their sick bed and they need you. That's not the time to walk away, but it's the time to turn up the love.
It's a covenant.
Because love says, where you can't go, I'll go for you. I'll carry you.
It's a covenant. Love, it it's a covenant.
Marriage is a binding covenant. It's a legal contract between us, man, that wife, and God.
And like you said, a binding contract.
Yeah, it's a legally binding contract.
Yeah, it is. I mean, because you said it with your mouth.
Exactly.
And even on the process, and I know this is, can take us in even, I got a marriage counsel seminar I do every year, but I don't want to run into there, but I want to stay here. because we can easily venture off over there. And then besides,
yeah, that's true. And I don't mean to get off subject, but, it's a classic example of the structure of love that God set in place for us.
Yeah.
And, when you really love someone, you're willing to go through things with them.
Amen.
It said, the Bible said it doesn't hold account. How many times you tell somebody you love them, and then as soon as they make you mad, the first thing you say is, I remember when you did this. I remember when you said that. No, God's love says, I forgive you. And I don't even remember it anymore.
Amen. And let's look at it. Like this in the sixth verse. We're going to continue to feed you some stuff. Now the word rejoiceth. It puts an ETH on the end of it. It's a never ending.
Mm-hmm.
If you continue. what he's speaking on, it rejoiceth. A dull word in the life of a believer, or come into the life of bringing somebody into the believer. You say it's not eloquently, you know. It says, but rejoiceth, ongoing again. Look at the words in which it's in. It's a pronoun. It's speaking of ongoing, and then it says that it beareth all things. It believeth. The THs is making a very different word. Only it's never stopping in the heart of believing. It beareth all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. It endureth all things. It's an ongoing. And it even in the midst of injury, long suffering, kind. Not me as being a Christian, but even to your food. So can I just say enemies? Just make it. I don't try to be intellectual. You know what your foosh is. It's not. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't get mad about the prosperity of others who got it going on. It venteth not. It does not boast of any of its own excellence. That's just, come on.
Amen.
You got some more callers on the line. I know they ain't raised their hand in there, but I'm a put some smoke text in. Now, I want people to get involved. We got the lines number.
Amen.
Don't get mad. Don't be like Tito in here. 756. I know you're in the studio. If I hit you, you're on. If you save anything, you can. If not, it's really no shame to us. But 765 area, are you in there?
I'm in here.
Amen. Well, you're not wide, and all ears and eyes are on you. Your word.
Well, I'm listening to the conversation about love, and I'm the type of person that I love hard. I love people, and sometimes people that you love just very unkind.
Amen.
So I try to love them even more to show them that, look, I can teach you to love, you know, and I can teach you how to be loved. You just have to be willing to do that.
Amen. She said something in there. Thank you, woman of God. She said she loved hard. Now, that's one thing about loving and being open to love. It's like you said, Elder, it suffers a lot. We get hit a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah, you open for that.
Trust me. I'm a witness. You take a lot.
Amen. Come on, man of God. Your evangelist is back over there, but I want to bring him in after you go head on and kind of tailor on what she said about that hard love. It may be hard love, but I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you, the devil be chunking stuff.
the reason love is hard, again, all we have to do is look at our example. Christ's sole mission was to come here and love us into heaven. And we've got to remember, the Bible lets us know that when you're truly saved, when you truly love God, that you identify with the suffering of Christ. And so Christ was sent here first to his people, the lost sheep of Israel. And Christ loved them. And the great thing about it, Christ loved them enough not only to suffer for them, but to give his life for them.
Amen.
And so as you walk through this life and you're putting on the bond of Christ, you pick up your cross and you're carrying your cross, please understand that as long as you're loving and you're loving folk right, you're going to receive hurt. You're going to receive pain. You're going to receive rejection. Christ went through all that. But I'm going to tell you this much. From personal experience, I'm like the young lady, the woman of God who just chimed in. Mm-hmm. By nature, I love hard.
Mm-hmm.
And because I love hard, I've suffered a lot of pain. I've suffered a lot of pain through that, you know, been through divorces and everything else. But at the end of the day, I also understand that God is my first love and God loves me. So it's actually worth the pain because I've learned how to be more forgiving. I've learned how to be patient. I've learned how to love my way on through. And anybody that knows what it feels like to love someone and love people, and they give you rejection and pain in turn, or they despitefully use you, all you got to do is always go back to the scripture. Christ said, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall receive reward if you faint not. You shall reap much if you faint not. And at the end of the day, ours is just to love regardless and hold on. If Jesus told us to love even our enemies, it's easy to love those folks that love us back. But what about them folks that rub you the wrong way? What about them people that no matter what you do, how good you are, they just don't like you?
Yeah, he said it's kind, so you got to love your enemies. You know, you just
love is patient. That's right. Love is patient and love is kind. And see, the greatest thing about love is that coming from an individual, coming from you, it goes out to everybody. It goes out to everybody else. Now, you're going to reap some love. You're going to reap some pain.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the ultimate goal is to reap everything that God has for you.
You know, when you said that about, you know, it's like, you know, I heard evangelists talk about, you know, the process of the charity. Yeah, you bestow all these gifts, as it said, but we have no charity. We have no love. It kept on speaking charity. But as you were speaking, when you were saying, it's more like when you go over to, I think, Lord, you wouldn't have to go there. Just write in your notes for those who are taking notes tonight. And I want to encourage those who are actually on the line and listening in to our show tonight. We want you to call in. Listen, we want you to be a part of what's going on tonight in this discussion. You're more than welcome. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to shame you. We're going to give you the opportunity to speak out on here. But we don't want to know. Yeah, the number to call in is 516-387-1220. 516-387-1220. When you talked about Elder in the area of love, you know, how, you know, what you give out is what you're going to get in return. I think about the process of, I think it's in Matthew 7, I mean, if I'm in there anywhere, the Word of God talks in Matthew 7, judge not that you may be judged. And some people that even the correlation that scripture passage, oh, yes, it is, if you want it in the spirit.
Yeah, it does.
Because the Bible says, what judgment you judge, what kind of love you're judging, what kind of love. Now, you got to be careful about what you put out. Now, the reason I'm saying that, as being a man and woman of God, what you give out will come back to you. I think Ecclesiastes 11 say, cast your bread upon the water, and after many days, you know, it will return. But what you look at the revelation of it, and it's what the man of God said, Elder Cary Williams. He said, look, what you give out is what you will get back. Now, I want you to hear me when I say this. Loose love, you get loose love. Pain love,
amen.
You get pain. Am I somewhere? Physical love, you'll get physical love. See, what you put out, it attracts. Calm love,
amen.
Sweet, obedient love, that's what you're going to come back to you. Now, I don't want to throw myself on the physical love side, but some people open themselves up too fast to things that they hadn't prayed for properly. And what happens, your emotions and feelings, did I say something? It gives out, and that's what you get returned back. So when people look at you, that's the spirit they see on you.
Amen.
They don't see the kind of spirit you should have on you, the gentleness, the meek, the love, the kind. And some people just look at you to try to take just the physical part of you, whether they're taking all. See, love comes in a whole package. And even in the process of marriage, and I don't want to get into marriage, but I'm just saying, when you understand the process of marriage, a marriage is more than just a physical love.
That's right.
Well, you heard
so
probably through the one here just a few months ago, and I think it was a similar story that's been out there for a while, that it was a young man and his wife, and I think they was in the process of being married. I think I saw it on the TV show. And I think he went off and something happened. And in the course of the time, I think he was in a very severe accident at his job. And he had to have open his legs and amputated the one in his arms. And he cried and he boo-hooed. He said, now my dream that I wanted to have, to be married and have kids, never happened. But the devil is a lie. She didn't love him for his physical attributes. Now, I tell people all the time, now, I don't get funny with this. Sometimes you want somebody you can look at. I mean, don't get me wrong. I ain't trying to say, I ain't no beauty queen. I ain't saying I'm all that in a bag of chips. But I'm trying to get people to understand, whatever God has in store for you and whatever you put out, that's what's going to be put back to you. But if you think the physical going to overrule the loving, then you all got it messed up. Because, see, what Amen. Used to be a coat, I get a six-pack. And then to get a fat pack, and then to get a healthy pack. And you still got to love that you got, you had less to love, but you got a lot more to love now. And you still got to know the same.
Amen.
Despite of whatever they may be going through, changes in their life, ups and downs, physical, whatever, you got to still understand that was an oath that you made to that person,
Amen.
Not on the physical side, but on the spiritual side. You put a binding covenant together. And so whatever you realize and what you understand, what is you're just injecting this in the marriage process of a book of Matthew, he said, judge not that ye may be judged. In other words, whatever you judge, whatever judgment, he says, judgment you judge, you should be judged also. It'll be measured back to you. Now think about the same thing. If I'm going to put out that kind of stuff, I'm going to get that stuff back. So don't get mad, Tito, when you draw things to you that are not supposed to be a part of you. No, I'm just, I'm being, you got to be. You got to know how to put these things to a point that is going to be related to the people to get them to understand. There's a lot of
Amen.
Things out
Amen.
There that will hit us that we don't want. Well, how are you carrying yourself as a sacrificial offering? Are you walking mm-hmm. in kindness? Are you walking in the process of not venting or not being envied? Are you walking in the process of knowing that God's got a plan for your life? According to Jeremiah 29:11, your suffering, into your patience, through all your hurt, harm, and injuries, go to the Lord, take it to him in prayer. And knowing that God's got something greater in store for you, whatever the devil meant to be evil against you, God has already turned that thing in the midnight hour. I don't care how old you are and what you may be in life, whether you up, whether you down. The Bible said if you turn on Jesus, you believe and declare and decree that his word, what he done for you, me, and everybody else, he'll do for another. He'll do it for you.
Amen.
You don't got to be
Amen.
Envious of your friends that got the nice house, the nice cars, the nice job. God say it's something you can have greater, much more greater than that. You don't know.
Amen.
It takes one person.
Amen.
It takes one person to take you from the prison to the palace. The word of God said to him that believe. I believe in the event of the man over in the book of Mark 9:23. That's what happened to him. After his son was suffering those demonic spirits and the disciples came after Jesus come off that transfiguration, I believe he didn't think his son was going to ever be saved. I believe he took him just like the woman of God, going through all people all around. Because, he talked about he suffered a long time with these spirits. They sometimes throw them. He told him sometimes he threw in the water. Sometimes he vomited at the mouth. He throws them on rocks, And he finally came that he was in the delivering stage. Because why? Because he sought out and seeked out for the help of somebody other than himself. He loved his son. He didn't want to see him like that. And God put the right people in his path. Sometimes you got to understand, God will put the right person in your path when you're going through injuries, you're going through these foods, you're going through these prosperity problems, and it don't seem like things are as excellent as it should be. God is yet waiting to bring something to you that you never thought you never heard. I think he said, eyes have I seen. Ears have not heard. Amen.
Amen.
Here. I know he's back in the background. He's our special guest tonight, Evangelist Carter. In the name of Jesus, come on, man of God.
Wow. I'm happy to see you. I'm enjoying everything right here.
But I'm going to say this.
Love is a special gift.
Special gift
when it's coming from the Lord.
When it's coming from the Lord.
And, you have to love what you do.
Amen.
And I love laying hands and praying for people. You see, and sitting down and counseling with them. Whoever would have thought that I would love this, but I truly do.
Amen.
And the thing of it is, and I say again, it's a truly, truly a special gift and a blessing from the Lord. When I can lay hands upon people, the Lord bless me with that gift to pray. And when a person is going through something, and you know that you're living for the Lord, and you can get a prayer through.
Hmm.
And that's a special gift.
Well, it is.
And it you is. Know, knowing that, you know, and I just say truly, I thank God and I appreciate you all inviting me on to your show.
Oh man, the Elder Carey.
Man, God bless you, man.
To God be
glory. It's the Lord's show, truly.
Yeah.
Can I piggyback off of what y'all just said for a minute, for
man,
a moment,
come on.
And then I'll
come
be
on,
done.
Man.
It's like this. You can call a dog a duck, but that doesn't make it any more, you know, than what it is. At the end of the day, it's a dog. And see, Paul said this for a reason. Paul said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked." And mm-hmm. said about man, said God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that
mm-hmm.
shall he also reap. So when you plant those seeds of whatever kind they may be, like Pastor Ellis said, that's what you're gonna get back. But
mm-hmm.
I wanna tell you this much. Let's break it down and take a look at this. Technically, we know about category. There are five different types of love. You know, and the greatest one, the one we're highlighting, is agape love. That's God's love. It's unconditional love. That's mm-hmm. love that's selfless, and it's concerned. It seeks the greater good of everybody else, you know, another human being. Then we have what's called eros love. That's that physical love between the man and the woman. Now, all of these are tied in together. We got agape, and then we got eros love. Then we have storge love. That's familiar love. That's the love that you have for another family member. Like, I love my cousin, I love my brother, I love my sister. Then we have filios love, which is brotherly love. It's where you get the name of the city of Philadelphia. When you have a love, you know, you love your neighbor, you love your neighbor and other people. And then there's one more, there's eros, there's agape, there's filios, there's storge, and then there's one more, and I can't remember it right now. But it's basically,
Leo.
Yeah, thank you, Leo. But what I'm saying to that is all of that, every last one of those categories of love, they all tie in and they come out of agape love. If not for agape love, you really can't, the other ones can't exist. And so that's why it's so important. God exemplified all of that, first of all, when he created us. Then he went down the line, and the first thing he did was he created a family unit. And all of that is like a melting pot or a mixing pot for us to apply agape love to ourselves and then spread it. See, God doesn't give us anything or anybody that he doesn't expect us to take care of. And when you talk about agape love, again, God is a God of intercession. And by God's design and love and bonds, the way he has it by design, if we sow seeds of intercession, we spend our life loving on everyone else first, then God has it by design that those seeds that we sow can make sure that we receive a harvest of love from everybody else. That's why when we talk about the favor of God, people get excited about the favor of God. Say, favor ain't fair. No, it's not, because it's of God. And That love is, the Bible says that it doesn't brag, it doesn't boast.
Uh-uh.
It's selfish, it's not kind. You think about an envious spirit or a jealous spirit. Anytime anyone you operate with a jealous spirit, what's the first motivation of that jealous spirit? It's self. You can't be happy for another person. You can't love on another person because they got something that you wish you had or that you desire, that you want to have. So instead of celebrating and loving on them and saying and taking it upward, instead of inward, taking it upward to God and saying, well, God, I thank you, you know, because that gives me hope. I'm going to receive mine, so I love that person. I love you. But what we do is we turn everything in with the self. Everything is motivated by self. And this is why it's so important that we understand the bonds and the limitations of love. Love is anything. Love concerns anything and anybody but self. And so we have to go from there. I mean, you know, again, at the end of the day, it is what it is. And like Evangelist Carter was saying, when you love what you do, especially as it relates to loving others, you know, then that's what you receive in turn. And our goal, we used to sing a song, it's not about us, it's not about me, it ain't about you, it ain't about your job, it's right, it ain't about your family, your career, your kids, but it's about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all of these things will be added unto you. That's the umbrella of love.
Amen. Amen. Let's get one more biscuit. Not here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, in that 13th chapter, in the 8th verse, once again, charity never faileth.
Come on.
But whether there be prophecy, now look what it said, whether there be prophecy in the name of Jesus, that shall fail. Whether there be tongue, it shall cease. Notice what he's saying about all these things, but there's no charity. You got to see the description of what he's saying here. Prophecy can't exist. Love will exist. Knowledge won't exist. All this stuff will vanish. The Bible said tongues won't even exist. They shall all cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. See, when God can't get nothing into a stubborn mind, does that make sense? I'm trying to talk to you all day. Study your head. About the knots in your head.
Calls not calling mind.
Until you understand something. Against the wall. God said, I'm steady trying to show you that these things, if you don't have love, it's going to fail in every category. Like you see one of these GM cars, we all from the General Motors City, it go across the line, and hit that stamp, it's an all rejected, it got to go back. And really, when we talk about our love and how we are as men and women of God, the greatest test is the public. The greatest test is not just within the walls of our church or in our home. It's when we're in the public eye.
Amen.
Because we've seen lately a lot of tragedies, a lot of things. Now, I don't like to talk about the Hillary and Donald Trump situation, but that's a typical example. The vision of the two, we're trying to find out where the world is headed, where we're headed as a nation, and they're too busy. Well, we're trying to tear each other down about old present things. I think the word of God said for all old things. If we ever gonna move forward in our marriage, in our life, in our finances, we gotta come to govern ourselves in a position to correlate ourselves in the right area, like it says in Psalms 133. Unify yourselves. Come to the people that are with you a pearl. Actually want to be a part of what you're doing and where you're going, you know, and that way you find out that what you're doing, some people, they do things and they've been around such negativity, they don't think it can happen. Like a person who goes through constant love quarrels and falls all the time. And the first thing they seek for is love, and anything that comes on that may look like it like them, they jump on it, you know what I'm saying? You really got to think about the person. What I'm saying, it's not nothing to put anybody down. We all been through that role before. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
We have to talk countless times over and over again. And this is why you hear me say, sometimes, you know, God keep on shaking you up. You keep bumping your head against the wall, complaining about the knots on your head. And God said, I'm trying to show you. These things you're running against is trying to get you to go in a different direction. It's not my will, being that I love you, for you to go through these processes, these problems. God don't want you to fail. He want to produce winners. He want to produce victors, you know, because the word of God said we win. But he says over there in the 8th verse, charity never faileth. That right there covers everything else in there. It's charity. Charity, like the man of God said, Evangelist Adam Carter, charity and love supersede all gifts. Y'all understand what I'm saying here?
That's true.
You don't have whether you're a prophet, whether you're a person who can speak in tongues, whether you're a person who got wisdom, whether you're a person a bishop, prophet, apostle. If you ain't got love,
it don't mean anything.
That's why when he said the top of the story, the top of the show, that charity and love is the greatest of all gifts. And it really is.
Mm-hmm.
That was an amazing word when he said that.
Because it is.
Do I spoil all of these gifts that I have no love? Come on, man of God.
Sure.
I can pour the burn my body, whatever they did in those days, you know, back in the Roman days, they talk about the burning of the body. When they actually put people and cast them out to sea and put them on the driftwood and burn them, you know, sounding brass, all this stuff. He makes it very clear, man.
That's right.
I can do all these deeds, but it's all selfishness in the area of rejection and iniquity. I can't have. You just out of there. Well, hey, look, we thank you guys for joining here at Harvest Light Church and Harvest Light Studios here in the city of Dallas. It's always a pleasure for you guys to be with us during the show with the great man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, and out in Carter Print Hands Ministry, and our guests that are all on the line. I know a lot of you are lined up tonight. I know y'all listening in, but you didn't raise a hand at one time, but I picked on one of y'all. But I remember the 7-5, the 7-6-5, I had to pick on her. But in the name of Jesus, all of you are on the line. And the work that we're doing here at Harvest Light Church, along with this great man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, we thank God for you. Now, we're going to leave the end of the show in his hands, and he's going to take us out.
Amen. We just want to say like this, just like the saying said, goes that practice makes perfect. If you just try practice love, just try practicing love every day, you'll understand and you'll receive the love of God into your life. You know, and I wanted to say a minute ago, the reason why he can be confident in saying that love never fails is because, first of all, the Bible lets us know that love never fails because God is love. Love is God. And the Bible plainly tells us also that love will cover it. Perfect love casts out all fear, and love covers a multitude of all sin. You know, it never matters what someone else does. We've all fallen into sin. We were born in sin. We were shaped in iniquity and born into sin. So sin itself is a byproduct of walking in the absence of love. And as long as we take the time to research it, study it, and understand it, seek God's face about it, and apply it, we won't go wrong.
Hold on a second, Elder. Hold on one second, Elder. Somebody say something to all of y'all.
Hello, God bless you.
Uh-huh. God bless you. That's your daughter.
That's my little princess herself.
That's all right. All right. Now, as I was saying, the last thing I'm going to say is that it's easy to talk love, and it's also easy to confuse it and fool yourself. This is why if it's not being applied out of a heart that's been reborn and reclaimed in real love, then Like Pastor Ellis said, and it's off and not anyway, and that's what this whole scripture is talking about. But this is a guide and a meter for us to check ourselves in every single day and walk in that and apply it. So I'm encouraging everyone tonight to go back and spend some time in this particular scripture, 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, and just measure your own self by it. Measure your own self by it. And set out every day to accomplish something in that list. If you know you're falling short in the area, every day is a brand new day. And God's given us to seek his face, press on, and continue to get it right. Because none of us are perfect. None of us were born perfect. None of us actually, we had to be taught love. Even as Pastor, as Evangelist Carter said, we had to be taught the first increments of love in the home, you know, for my mother and father. But when we take, when we come to an age of maturity, we take what we learn and then we pass it on. Mm-hmm. You know, God bless you. And we're going to go ahead and pray and close out. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We thank you for the men and the women of God tonight, Lord, who have come to seek, to fill their hearts, to fill our hearts and our spirits, and to be knit with yours, God. Bless us as we go forth from this conversation, Lord, as we go forth into our daily lives and habitations, to our daily different destinations, and to bring us back to the appointed place, the appointed time, without hurt, harm, or danger to any of these loved ones. These and all other blessings we thank you and pray for in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
God bless you, sir. Evangelist Carter, it was good hearing your voice, man.